Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Jesus is also called our Savior and our Redeemer. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea many years ago, it was noted that the angels sang of peace on earth and goodwill among men. The peace has not come to the world. Peace is an elusive thing. What is peace anyway? Peace has been described simply as an absence of conflict, an absence of strife of mind and body. And yet it would seem that peace could be found somewhere in this world if we could find the very formula for peace itself. The scriptures tell us this. And I would have you turn with me to the 122nd Psalm, Psalm 122. And the psalmist writes, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Verse 5, "For there are set thrones of judgment and the thrones of the house of David." And verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Why should we be interested in the peace of Jerusalem? I have tried to determine the meaning of the name of Jerusalem itself. We have learned that various people have different thoughts concerning the name of Jerusalem. But I believe the most basic thought and basic definition that we could give you this morning is simply this, that Jerusalem is a city founded for peace. For the very first part of that year is founded, Salem simply means peace. And there are definitely other definition. But we find that when the city of Jerusalem became the city of David, that at that particular time, God set forth his very special purpose in that city. According to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, the 4th through the 7th verses, David moved from Hebron to Jerusalem, there to make it his city and God's city. According to the 7th verse of that chapter, 1 Chronicles 11, it was called the city of David. Hence, when the angels sang the chorus of peace, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And yet it was at that point speaking concerning Bethlehem, for it was out of Bethlehem that David came later to become the king seated on the throne in Jerusalem. We believe that God has a purpose then in founding this city. The history of the city of Jerusalem is not a history of peace. It's interesting, though it was called the city of peace, or it was founded for peace, that it became a city of blood. There was power there. There was intrigue, and we find that there were those mothers who even murdered their children, and brothers killed brothers that they might rise to the throne room there. And David and Solomon, who were David being the second king of Israel, and Solomon the third, each of them had their own problems as they sometimes served God and sometimes failed to serve their God. It was in the city of Jerusalem that the most wonderful temple, I believe, that was ever constructed in the history of the world, at least to the glory of God, was constructed. According to the scriptures, we find that David made the plans, but it was Solomon who carried out those plans. It was Solomon who, by the grace of God, completed those plans and the city and this temple was dedicated to the glory of God. But we find, however, that even though this city was a city of God, founded of God, a place where peace should reign and from which peace should go forth to the world, that sin entered in to this once beautiful city. And that we will well recall that according to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, God told the children of Israel that if they served God, He would bless them abundantly. And further in that same chapter, He told them that if they failed to serve their God, that God's curse would fall upon them and that they would become as the heathen about them. And then finally, as a result of their sin then, according to Jeremiah 39, verses 1 and 2, the city of Jerusalem did fall because of its sin, because it had failed to listen to God, because it had brought sin within its walls and even within that beautiful temple, because they had made it, because the people of the day did only worshiped as a matter of convenience. And because they decided to bring their own forms of worship within the house of God, God said to Jeremiah the prophet, "This city shall be overrun." And according to Jeremiah 39, 1 and 2, that really did happen. We find then that after a period of nearly 70 years, under the blessing of God, as the children of Israel were in Babylon, God sent His ambassadors back to the city of Jerusalem. And there they found the walls broken down. There they found that jackals were running among the buildings. There they found that the heathen were around them. There they found that the temple had been laid waste. Jerusalem was revisited, but at that time God was not there till God used Ezra and God used Nehemiah and the other workmen to bring about the restoration of that once beautiful city. Then we find that in the days of that a temple was constructed under Zerubbabel, and there it was not as beautiful as it had been, but nevertheless, God was there. Finally, then we come down into later times, and we find Jesus Christ, the lowly Man of Nazareth, walking among the people of that day, and finally coming in the closing hours of his life to that city of Jerusalem. And as he walked among those people, and as he perhaps stood on the hill, or perhaps on one of the pinnacles of the temple, or one of the porches of the temple, looking out over that city and crying out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you unto myself, even as a hen gathered chicks under wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Ye shall not, there shall not be left one stone on another. Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So we find then that according to profane history, that the city of Jerusalem was overrun again, and it was destroyed. And the people of the day who were residing in that city were scattered over the then known world. And that completed the history of the city up until recently. In 1948, the nation of Israel became a reality in May of that year, and its history from that day till now has been a bloody history, as it were, as that nation strives to take its place among the nations of the world. In the 1967 war, the divided city of Jerusalem was reunited, and today Israel pledges that that city shall never again go back to a divided situation. What does this all mean to you? And what does it mean to me? It simply means that, as the psalmist of old said, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." He was asking us to pray that when peace comes truly to Jerusalem, we might be at peace with our God. I'm very rapidly here trying to portray a picture of the purposes of God. I want you to see that according to Zechariah, the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 3rd verses, that Jerusalem should be a cup of trembling in the hands of all people of all nations that have anything to do with her. Why? Even today we are finding that because there is no peace in Jerusalem, there is no peace in the world. Because there is no peace in Israel, we today find our nation, and our economies, the economy of the world, are being very aptly shaken. We are finding that God has a purpose for his city of Jerusalem. According to the book of Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, and beginning with the 1st verse and going on through that chapter, we find that the day will come when the mountains of the Lord's house, or the mountain of the Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains. Out of Jerusalem shall, or Zion, shall go forth the law. And finally, as we go further through that chapter, we find that when there is peace in Jerusalem, men shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I am sure that all of us want peace. I am sure that we do not want the heartache and the trial of things as they are today. I enjoy life, and as it is, that is, I say, in the physical state, I like to live, I enjoy life, and I trust that you do too. And I believe that our God wants us to enjoy this life. But beyond this, I want you to realize further that God has a great purpose in the things that he is doing. And God is using the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel as a sign to the world. And when we find that finally peace shall come to Jerusalem, it will be because the Prince of Peace shall have returned as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In all of this happening then today, we recognize, I believe, trust that you will recognize, that God is working, that God has worked, that God is working, and that he shall work to bring about his purposes among mankind. And we often read Revelation 21 and verse 1, where John the Revelator says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven." Some have said that is a literal city. Some have said that it is a picture of God's redeemed ones gathered together as a part of that glorified body, which shall honor and glorify God throughout eternity. I'm not too concerned about either of those definitions. My only concern is this, that today's happenings tell us that peace will come to Jerusalem, that there will be no peace. As the scriptures state in Jeremiah 6 and 14, it says they cry, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3, it says, when they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. But the interesting thing to me is this, that as we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly," we're not crying peace and safety looking to as the world sees it, but we are crying for the peace of Jerusalem. We are praying for the coming of our Lord. We are praying for the establishment of the kingdom of God upon this earth. We are praying for the day to come when God, through his power, shall subdue the nations through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are praying for that day when we'll not worry about atom bombs and cruise missiles and all the other things, when you'll not hear of accidents like that one that took place off the East Coast when those men tragically lost their lives in the accident aboard that nuclear aircraft carrier. There will be perfect peace on earth as God ushers in his kingdom through Jesus Christ. And as Jesus rules and reigns, and as he subdues this the peoples of this world, puts down all power and all authority, in short, everything which is contrary to the will and the way of God shall be subdued to the power of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. So I note again then that it says in Psalm 122 and verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. As God's people, we need to pray for peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Work for peace among ourselves. Work that the peace that can come alone through Jesus Christ, that peace which passeth all understanding through Jesus Christ our Lord, may touch hearts and lives today. We need to pray that God will use us in His will and in His way to bring honor to His name. But we need to look through eyes of faith and hope, keeping our eyes, as it were, upon the eastern sky, realizing that Jesus will come. As that person is buried, they're buried in such a way that if they are raised from the dead, the first thing they would see would be the sunrise of God's tomorrow. May God give us His blessing, His strength, His help. May we pray that we might find peace within ourselves and be ready for that day when God's people shall dwell at peace, because righteousness shall go forth from Jerusalem, because the Prince of Peace shall be ruling and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords from the Jerusalem that shall never know war again. May God bless us in His will, in His service to that end. We praise Him through Jesus' name. If there's anyone here who is not ready to accept, or who is ready to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, who is not ready at this moment in your present state, we invite you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Redeemer, to be prepared to meet Him. You need to accept Him as Redeemer. You need to come forward, express your desire to be baptized in Jesus' name, for the remission of sins. Won't you come as we sing one verse of the closing song?